Good morning. I would like to start with prayer, if we might. Father, thank you for your sanctuary, Lord. Thank you for drawing us close this morning. Thank you, Jesus, that you said you would be present here with us to heal and to forgive. Lord, thank you for who you are. Lord, I am asking you this morning for your spirit to come upon me, Lord, so that I would not misrepresent you in any way in the teaching of your word or cause anyone to think you are anything but who you really are. Lord, we just ask you to be present, to be our teacher. Please guard my tongue and fill my heart, Lord, so that from the abundance of my heart, my mouth would speak. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And I will try to keep my voice up so everyone can hear me. This morning, we're going to be speaking from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And it's about addressing the divisions in the church, in the body of Christ, which has been a big problem from the beginning. So I would like to just read the 1 Corinthians, and then we'll get into it. It said, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you are enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you came short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So Paul, in this epistle to the Ephesians, to the Corinthians, as he was going all over the place, trying to be obedient to Jesus's command to go into all the world and preach the gospel, had heard that there were some problems in the church in Corinth, and he went to address it. And this letter was written from Paul to them, and he also said it was from Sosthenes, our brother. This was the Sosthenes that was beaten by the Greeks before the judgment seat of Gallio. He was a proconsul of Achaia, and he was with Paul, and Paul included him in the writing of this letter to the Corinthians. Those that were sanctified, he was writing to those who were sanctified, who were set apart in Jesus. Of course, that is one of the criteria to be part of the church, is to be in Jesus Christ. It's our relationship with Jesus that sets us apart from the rest of the world. That's what sanctifies us from the world. And Paul was just reminding these people, because of the problems that he saw that were arising there, that our sanctification is in Jesus Christ, and that our hearts and minds and thoughts should be on him. And that's how we avoid most of the problems in the church. So he said, those who are called to be saints, this is going to be a little bit of a rabbit trail. But it is one of the things that causes divisions in the body of Christ. Paul is talking to the church in Corinth, those who are sanctified in Jesus Christ, who are called to be saints. Paul, in many of his letters, talked about, you know, making sure that, you know, that your calling is sure, that you were called by Jesus. And that's a problem sometimes. You know, some people think they're called. You know, I questioned whether I was called, but, you know, knowing the heart of God, as we're going to get into here in a minute. Paul tells them that they were set apart and they were called by Christ to be saints. Now, first of all, if you went in the Catholic Church and told them you were a saint, they would laugh you to scorn because they have a whole list of things that you have to be and go through to be called a saint. I went to St. Anne's Basilica in Quebec one time, and I noticed one of the things that, you know, was there, one of the church treasures, was a finger bone. It was supposed to be of one of their saints that they had canonized. The things that they put, you know, some importance on, I just don't understand. But God says that if we believe in his son, we're saints. The scripture clearly teaches that. And, of course, I don't want to argue about it. And if, you know, no, you think I'm not a saint, I don't care. You know, I want to, you know, I believe what God says. I believe what the word says. And, you know, I try to speak it in love, and sometimes you can't. If somebody is, you know, dogmatic about what they believe, even if they're wrong, you know, they stand on what they believe. But God is merciful, and God is gracious, and God can change hearts and minds. And I believe if we just speak the truth in love, that the Holy Spirit will convince of the truth. So, called to be a saint, and, you know, who does the calling is another problem. does the church ordain the leadership? Does the church call people to be saints? No, that's not any human's job. It's God who calls. And his word verifies that he is the one who calls. And I just like to back up what he says and what I'm telling you with scripture. God calls us to himself. When he had brought Moses and the children of Israel to Mount Sinai after he led them out of Egypt, that's the first thing he told them. He said, I've brought you here to myself. He called them to himself out of Egypt. So in Isaiah, you don't have to go to these, but I would like to read them to you. Well, actually, we'll go right here in 1 Corinthians chapter in verse 9. He said, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So it's God who called us into fellowship with his Son. In Isaiah 22, verse 20. He said, then it shall be in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim and the son of Hilkiah. I will clothe him with your robe and strengthen him with your belt. I will commit your responsibility into his hand. He shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So Eliakim was called by God to be a servant. In Isaiah 45, verses 3 to 5, says, I will give you the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. God will call, he not only calls us, he calls us by name, because he knew who we were before he created us. He knew what we were going to be. He knew who we were going to be. He calls us by name. And again, I'm reminded that he called Cyrus by name to be the one to send Ezra and Nehemiah back to rebuild the Jerusalem, which was a big point in history because it was given in prophecy a certain amount of time from that time that Jesus would come into Jerusalem as the king. So God calls us, he calls us by name. He calls us to himself. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Well, actually in Acts chapter 2 first. Verses 38. Find it here. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. God is calling. Always. First Thessalonians chapter 2. And in verse 10, you are witnesses in God also how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and changed and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. So it's God who does the calling. He's calling constantly, every day. Every morning he wants our attention. And that comforts me to know that even if I'm not paying attention, he's right there and he's trying to get my attention. So who gets called? Who does he call? Well, 2 Peter verse 3 says that God does not desire that any should perish. So I believe he calls everyone. I believe everyone. He calls everyone into his kingdom. But not everyone who was called hears. Now, because, let's face it, he was calling me for years. And I didn't hear him. And even when I did hear him, many times I resisted. I thought that was just me losing it. But he does. He calls everyone. And again, not everyone hears or listens. God doesn't want any of us to perish. He wants everyone to come to the knowledge of the truth and repentance. So I believe all are called, not all accept the invitation. In Matthew chapter 20, Jesus himself said, many are called, few are chosen. And in John 15, 16, Jesus said, you haven't chosen me, I've chosen you. So God not only called us, he chose us. So what are we called for? Why does God call us to himself? First of all, because he loves us. And he has pity on us because he knows if we continue in the way that we were going, he would have to destroy us. And that's not why he created us. So he called us to be his children because he loves us. So, and he calls us also, to serve him. When he called us to himself and we answered and he showed us what he did for us and we received it and we were born again, we were given eternal life. I don't know about you, but my first reaction was, well, thank you. My first reaction was I wanted to pay him back. But then as I grew in my walk with him, I realized there was nothing I could do. All I could do was love him back and just obey him because I love him. And that's something he's been very patient with me about too, waiting for me to get it right. But then that's our walk with him while we're here, is learning how to be children of God and becoming what we're going to be when he brings us home. So he called us to be servants, to be his children most of all, to be saints, to be that light shining in this world, in the darkness here, that draws people to him. That's one thing I couldn't understand for a long time was, I'm a Christian, I have the Spirit of God living in me, my home is in heaven, what am I doing here? And little by little, he began to show me what I was doing here. He's preparing me for his kingdom, and not only that, he wanted me to be the vessel that he lived in that attracted others to him. And, when I think of that, I feel honored to be here now, to think that God would fill me and use me for that purpose. He has given me more than I could have ever asked for, and he wants me to share that gift with whoever will listen. That's the reason why I was called. That's the reason why you're called, to be filled with him, to know him, and to pass him around. Freely you have received, freely give. So, and we who are saved, we call on the name of Jesus. He is our help. We know now that without him, we can do nothing. The thing that amazed me about becoming a child of God was it could not happen until I chose to believe God. That's when the truth came flooding in. I could have studied the Bible my whole life. I could have, done everything right. But if I didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God, if I didn't believe that he was the only acceptable sacrifice for the forgiveness of my sins, then I never would have been saved. I could have studied the Bible all my life. I could have pontificated from it all my life, but there's no life apart from just believing. That's why God, did what he did. That's why he told us that was the only way to be saved, to be his child. So Paul continues in verse 3, and he says, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This was a short form of the blessing that God commanded the priest to say over Israel in Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And this was the short form, grace and peace. That's like the short form of the gospel, you know, turn or burn. So, and Paul, wanting the Corinthians to be blessed, said this blessing over them. And Paul was telling the church that he was grateful to God because of their fellowship with him, their walk with him. This was a church that Paul had helped to found, or when he was going through. He was thanking him not only for just calling them and saving them, but also for confirming the gospel in them. You know, it's one thing to hear the gospel, and another thing to just, you know, present yourself to God so that he can confirm it in you. I love that about him, that he doesn't just tell us the gospel, but when we believe, he confirms it in us. He doesn't just tell us, he proves it. And he invited us to prove him that his word is true, that everything he tells us, we can bet our lives on. I love that he is not going to do anything that will harm us. So when they believed, when they had chosen to believe him, they were saved and they were called, and now God was confirming that in them, that through their speech and actions and the power of the Holy Spirit, and through the way they lived their lives, they were being a testimony to the living Jesus while they were waiting for him to return. And we know that, you know, as Pastor Bob told us, that even then, people were expecting Jesus to come back soon. So they were waiting for him, and they were living their lives in that expectation. So Paul assured them that Jesus would also confirm them to the end, that they would establish them and keep them in fellowship with him, give them strength, and he would vindicate them. He would set them free against all accusations and indictments. I love that he is called my intercessor. He's my lawyer. He takes my case. You know, when I'm down here messing up, and he stands before God and says, "Well, you know, Father, please forgive him. I died for him." He stands up for me before God. He said, if I would confess him before mankind, he would confess me before his Father. So we do have, not only have a merciful God, we have a merciful judge and a relative for a lawyer. So he is going to present us blameless and irreproachable in the day of Jesus Christ, in the day of judgment. And I love it that he says God is faithful, who called them into fellowship with Jesus. He called us to himself. He called us into fellowship with Jesus. That word fellowship, it means more than just hanging out with. It means to be in participation with. You know, what Jesus is doing, you know, we're doing it too. That's what, you know, and when you have fellowship with Jesus, I mean, that's what fellowship is. You know, it's being with him, doing what he's doing. You know, he told us that, you know, he doesn't say anything that he didn't hear from his Father, and he doesn't do anything he doesn't see his Father doing. So that's what our fellowship, he wants our fellowship with him to be like, is not only spending time with him, but having the same heart and mind as him as we go through this world. We know what's important to him. It's not this creation. It's not the things in it. It's the people that he created and put in it.